All right, Acts chapter 1, Philippians chapter 4. If you'll grab those two scriptures, I'm going to continue a message that I began a few weeks ago on the rapture and the boy who cried wolf. And I used the illustration of that story of the little boy who kept crying wolf, and he was kidding around, you know, and it didn't happen. And then when he finally did, it was a disaster when the wolf finally showed up. And I use that as an illustration to kind of say the evangelical community sometimes is kind of guilty of crying wolf in the sense that they'll say that the rapture of the church is, you know, any day now because of this event or that event. And what happens is then it doesn't happen and there's a loss of integrity and the world mocks, you know. And you know, Christians or pastors will say things like the end is near, you better pack your bags, we're about to leave, this event happened, it's a sign of the times, the fig tree's budding, it can't be long now, and sensationalism and so forth. But really, in the long run, it's destructive. And I gave you some illustrations of that in the past few weeks. And so I'm dealing with three biblical facts that if we understood these facts, it would alleviate this kind of thing. And we dealt with two of them already. Number one, in your handout, the first fact is that we're living in the time of the mystery, not prophecy. We're living in the time of the mystery, not prophecy. And I went to great lengths and took a whole lesson to explain that. Okay, that there in your handout, it says there are no timetables for when this mystery program called the dispensation of grace must end. There's no timetables for when this time of grace is going to end. But number two, the second fact, which we dealt with last Wednesday night, is that the signs of Christ's coming are for Israel, not for the body of Christ. And in Matthew 24, Jesus gave some definite signs of some things that would occur before he came back at the second coming. If we could bring up on the chart the basic timeline, and I'll just point out here what we're talking about. He gave signs for this event, the revelation, when he would come back down to the earth and establish his kingdom. But he did not give signs for this time of the mystery when it would end, which is where we're living now. And this time period ends with the event called the what? Rapture. Catching up of the church, the body of Christ. We are caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And there's no signs for this event, but we're going to see again tonight there are signs for this event. And so in your handout, I believe it says that the prophetic program gives definite world events and timetables, but the mystery program of today does not. So if we can go back to that chart again, go to the other chart, go to the other one, which I gave you last week, signs of Christ's return. There's signs, see, as we see here, for this event, okay? And he likened it to a fig tree budding when you see these signs. And he said the generation that sees all this stuff happen in Matthew 24 won't pass away until they see this event, Christ's return back down to the earth. And that's what it says down here at the bottom. And I gave you this chart last week. But over here, we're living in this time period, have been for 2,000 years, and there are no signs for the rapture. Only general characteristics of the world are given. And so that what my plan is, I want to give you the last point tonight. And then last week, I had handed out the blue slips of paper for questions. So what I'm going to do is at the end, I'm going to take the questions that were asked and I'm going to deal with those at the end. Okay, so let's go ahead and get through the lesson first, though. And number three, the third fact that I want to deal with tonight is this. The rapture is imminent and does not depend on signs. The rapture is imminent and does not depend on signs. Now, what do we mean by the word imminent? In your handout, Webster's defines imminent as ready to take place. Imminent means it's ready to take place. Okay? Again, on your handout, it says when we speak of the rapture as being imminent, we're saying that there's nothing standing in the way of its occurrence. There's nothing standing in the way. It's imminent. It could happen at any moment. It's ready to take place. There's nothing that has to happen. There's no signs that have to take place first in order for it to occur. Now, this is where I want you to go to Philippians chapter number 4. Keep your bookmarker in Acts chapter 1. We're going to go back there in just a moment. Okay, go over there to Philippians chapter 4, please. And I'm really glad you're here tonight. Thank you for being here. What a blessing. Philippians chapter number 4. All right, look at verse 5. Paul says to the church here, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." And then what's the last phrase say? The Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. Now, what's the context of that statement, "the Lord is at hand"? Well, go back a few verses to chapter 3 at the very end there, verses 20 and 21. Okay, here's the context when he says the Lord's at hand. Now, remember, this is almost 2,000 years ago. Right into, if you'll go back to the chart, okay, go back to that chart just for a second. I mean, we're just a little bit into this time period right here, the church age, this time of grace. And he says, way back here, the Lord's at hand. Look at chapter 3, verse 20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also," what's Paul doing? He's what? He's looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, "who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Now, in your handout, it says that the word "look" carries the idea of expectation. If you're looking for it, then you are expecting it to happen. That's the idea of the word "look." When he said, we're looking for the Savior, in other words, we're expecting it to happen. It's the idea of this. I don't know when it's going to happen. Okay, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm looking. And I'm looking and I'm watching and I'm expecting and I'm anticipating it at any moment. That's the idea of that word "look." It's kind of reminds me, I was trying to think of an illustration. Several years ago, you remember when President Bush came to Daytona? Remember that? And we went out to go see him, and we took the kids and we were going to go see the president. And so we went out there, and they tell you a set time. But does he ever come at that time? No. No, and I guess that's for security reasons and so forth. He never comes exactly when they say. So it seemed like we were waiting forever. We were waiting, and we're in this throng of people, and we're doing this, and we're doing that. And we're jumping up, you know, we're trying to see. We're looking up at the stage way far off, you know. And we had somewhere to go, a dinner appointment. Huh? Is that what it was? Okay, all right. We were going to your house. John and Linda Schoenwetter, we were going to your house for supper. And Denise wouldn't let us be late for that. And so she kept saying, we got to go. And I'm like, well, it's going to be here any minute, at any moment. It's imminent. It's ready to take place. And literally, as we were leaving and heading to the car, he showed up. But we got to see him. We did this. And on the way to the car, and we got to see him. But it was pretty neat. Well, that's the idea of the word "imminent." See, we're sitting there looking, expecting, and anticipating President Bush's arrival at any moment. And that's the idea of the word "look" in the rapture, is that we're looking. Hey, every morning we ought to be looking, amen? We should be looking, we should be anticipating, we should be expecting it. Nothing has to happen first. No, I'm looking, just like Paul, I'm looking every day for his appearing. That's the attitude that you're supposed to have towards the rapture. Look with me in your handout at Titus 2:13. Same idea, same thought. Paul says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm looking, I'm anticipating, I'm expecting. I'm looking for this thing to happen at any moment. It's imminent. It's ready to take place. Now, let's compare that thought with the second coming of Christ down to the earth. Now, we're not talking about the rapture now. We're talking about 7 years later after the rapture when Christ comes back down to the earth. It's also called the revelation. You saw that if you'll bring the chart up behind me, the timeline. Yeah, you'll see revelation. See how the arrow comes down to the earth? So we know that Paul's attitude towards this event, I'm looking, I'm expecting, I'm anticipating it. It's imminent, any moment. Well, what about this event? Okay, this is where I want you to go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And look with me at, let's see, let's go down to verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. All right. By the way, some of you have inquired about this serious issue, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you that the London Broil Philly cheesesteaks were very good Sunday night. If you weren't here Sunday night, ask somebody about that. All right. I've had more people tell me they've been craving that ever since then. Acts 1:6. When they therefore were come together, okay, this is Jesus after his resurrection and before his ascension to heaven. He's walking the earth after his resurrection. He's meeting with the disciples, the 12. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Is it time, Jesus? Are you going to do this thing that you've talked about for 3.5 years? Verse 7. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now, if you go down to verse number 9, it says, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So he goes from earth, and he's taken up to heaven. Now, verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, he says, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. This is referring to that event where the lion comes down. He went from earth to heaven, and he says, just in the way he did that, he's going to come back. He's going to come back from heaven down to the earth. So why are you standing up there gazing up into heaven? And so it's almost as if the angel's kind of rebuking them for looking up. And I mean, I'm assuming that they're probably looking up, watching him go up, presumably kind of wondering, okay, so what now? Is he going to come back? You know? And the angel says, no, don't be looking up. He says, don't be looking up there. He says, the angel says, look, Christ is going to return just as he ascended from the earth to the heaven. Well, why shouldn't they have been looking up with expectancy? The answer is revealed in Luke 21. Go over to Luke chapter 21, and I'll show you why there was no reason for them to be looking up. Luke 21, go over to verse 25. Luke 21, 25. Now, in your handout, I'll give you this statement at the bottom of your handout before we look at this. So it said there's we're to be looking for the rapture to happen at any moment, just like Paul was. But number 3 on your handout says, on the other hand, Christ reveals specific signs that will occur before he returns to earth to establish his kingdom on earth. Now, let's look at this. Luke 21, verse 25. Now, stay with me here and really think with me. Luke 21, 25. It's very important that we get this. Luke 21, 25. Says, and there shall be what? Signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, If you back up there, you'll notice we'll go back up to verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. That's speaking of in the tribulation, when the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the countries enter there into. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, according to Christ, there are some signs that are going to occur before he comes back down to the earth. Okay? What are the signs? Well, one of the signs was unparalleled peculiarity in the solar system. You look down there at verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. So there's going to be some unparalleled peculiarity in the solar system. Not only that, there'll be unparalleled destruction and catastrophic events on the earth that will be worldwide, affecting all nations of the earth. I'm not talking about a destructive event in an isolated part of the earth. I'm talking about unparalleled destruction, unparalleled catastrophic events that will be worldwide. He talks about in verse 25, distress of nations with perplexity. Another sign, there'll be unparalleled panic and fear on the earth, across the earth. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Look at this. Look at the end of verse 26. He says, for the powers of what? Heaven shall be shaken. What's that all about? Go over. Keep your bookmarker here. Go to Revelation. Let me show you real quick. Revelation 21. I'm sorry, 12. Revelation 12. What's this about the powers of the heavens being shaken? Revelation 12. And look at verse 7. This is in the tribulation time period. That 7 years, that Daniel's 70th week. Look at verse 7. It says, and there was war, where? In heaven. Boy, it's bad enough there's war on earth. Now there's war in heaven. What's that all about? Look at it. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Who's the dragon, folks? Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. You say, what? Satan's in heaven? Well, he's not speaking of the third heaven where Christ is in the holy city, Jerusalem. He's talking about the first heaven, which we have access to, the second heaven, which we don't have access to. That's the place he's talking about, not the third heaven. But notice it says there's found no more place. By the way, you say, I didn't know Satan was up there in the heavens, the first and second heavens. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Remember what Paul said? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness where? High. That word high is also translated heavenly places and other places. Spiritual wickedness and high, heavenly places. Yeah, absolutely. See, Satan is the great imitator. And so he's encamped there. But notice there's not found any more place in heaven. And then verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out of heaven into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice. Rejoice what? Ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So the powers of heaven are shaken. There is war in the heavens. In fact, you know, this is interesting. God is going to purify and cleanse the heavens before the earth. In Isaiah, let's see, I got it written down. Isaiah 34, 5, it talks about the sword of God's vengeance first being bathed in heaven. The sword of his vengeance is first bathed in heaven, then it will come down to the earth. And so, by the way, we're raptured up before all this happens, right? We've stood at the judgment seat of Christ, and now we've come through the judgment seat of Christ. We're prepared and equipped to serve the Lord in heavenly places. I wonder who's going to occupy all those places in the heavens when they're vacated by Satan and his armies. Duh. Yeah, us, we are. See, and so you got the judgment seat of Christ, and then about halfway into the tribulation, heaven is purified, Satan and his demons are cast out, and we occupy those heavenly places, and then later he will come down, of course, to the earth. Now, Go back with me to Luke 21. I will show you a key right here. This is a key. You need to see this. Luke 21, he gives them all these signs, okay? Verses 20 through 26, he gives them all these signs and events. Now look at verse 27. And what's the first two words? And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, okay? So when all these signs, you're seeing them fulfilled before your very eyes, what's the next three words? Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So question, when were they to start looking up? Not until they saw these things in this text happening, right? Am I right? What does that tell me? There is a prophetic time schedule, and the saints in the tribulation will have the ability to know where they're at in the time schedule. In your handout, it says, when they see these signs, when they see these signs, they are to start looking up, because then Christ's coming will be imminent. Then, after the signs. Once the signs occur, then there'll be nothing standing between them and Christ coming to the earth. Once the signs occur, then there'll be nothing standing between them and Christ coming. In your handout, I want to give you another statement. You ready? It says the tribulation saints aren't to start looking up until the time schedule says it's time. Then they start looking up. Okay? Now, is that true of us? Are we waiting to see some signs and then start looking up for the rapture? See the difference? Paul was already looking up in his time period. Paul was already expecting it when he was alive. I think Paul fully expected the rapture to occur before he died. He was looking for it. He told Titus to be looking for it. He told the Philippian church to be looking for it. Over it, he told the Thessalonians. He said, you are patiently waiting for that return. They were supposed to be looking for it. Paul is waiting and looking and anticipating the rapture to take place. But in the prophetic time schedule, if you'll bring the basic timeline up, in this, there's definite events for these tribulation saints. And he says, don't even bother looking up till you see the signs. Once you see the signs, then look up. Paul never says anything like that. Never. Paul's just looking for the rapture to occur right away. Why? There's no signs. Let me give you an illustration of this. If my mother, who lives in Missouri, if she said she was going to come to our house for a visit from Missouri, and if she said to me, Dan, I'm coming to your house. Whoa, all right, Mom, I'm so glad. And she says, now listen, it's going to be 3 days from now. It will be after lunch. I promise you it'll be after lunch. And I'm going to call you when I get close. Are there definite signs? Yes or no? Yes. Now, let's say she tells me that. And then that night, Denise sees me over by the window just looking out. And Denise comes up and says, Dan, what are you doing? I'm looking for Mom. Now, what would my wife think? Right, little nuts. Why? Well, because Dan, she told you it'd be 3 days from now. She told you that it'd be after lunch. And she told you she'd call when she was close. So what are you doing looking out the window now? Now let me ask you this, okay? If she calls me and she says, hey, I'm close. Well, where are you? I don't know, but I'm close. Well, that could mean that could mean over by the church here, or that could mean Jacksonville. Then if she call, if it's 3 days from now, okay, and if it's after lunch, and I got my phone call, And she says, I don't know where I am, but I know I'm close. Now, would I be right to be looking out the window? Yes or no? Sure. Because now her coming's imminent. I hope you're getting the illustration here. See, if my mom were to call me and just say, out of the blue, she just out of the blue calls me and says, guess where I'm at? Where? I'm in Daytona. You're in Daytona? Yep. And I'm going to be at your house sometime today. Then what am I going to be doing all day long? Well, I'm going to be having one eye on that window, huh? I'm going to have one eye looking. See, do you see the difference? And that's the illustration I'm trying to give you to show you that the second illustration is us, is that Christ said, I'm coming. And I'm going to catch you up, and you're going to meet me in the air, and so shall you ever be with me. Christ says, I'm coming. But it could happen at any moment. It's imminent. I don't have to wait for this, and this to occur and then start looking. No. He says, I'm coming. Well, the first illustration of my mom saying 3 days from now, and it'll be after lunch, and you're going to get a phone call. Well, that's an illustration of these people. See, Christ said, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. When you see these things happen, then look up. Are y'all getting the difference, yes or no? That's simple, isn't it? That's pretty easy to understand the difference. You see, in your handout, it says there, the tribulation saints, they're not to look up till the time schedule says, it's time, start looking up. But in your handout, it says, but Paul was waiting, looking, and expecting Christ to come at any moment. We read Philippians 3:20, we read Titus 2:13. Romans 8:23 teaches the same thing, and I'm not going to have you turn there, but the reference is there for you to look up. Romans 8:23 talks about how that we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body, for we're saved by hope. Paul had that blessed hope that the redemption of our body could happen at any moment. He said, we're waiting for it to happen. Same thing in 1 Corinthians 1:7. They were waiting. The Corinthians were waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the idea is any moment it could happen. Now, if the rapture of the body of Christ is not imminent, then the question is, what's Paul doing patiently waiting and looking for it? If a bunch of things have to happen before Jesus can return, then Paul kind of looks silly looking for it and anticipating it. So what does all this mean? And this is where I want to end it, and we're going to get into the question and answers. Look at your last thing on your handout. What does all this mean? It means that there is nothing standing in the way of Christ coming for us and the blessed hope taking place. There's nothing standing in the way. There are no events that have to happen before Christ comes for us. And that's what we mean by the imminent return of Christ. And that's one reason why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Okay? Because if it's in the tribulation, then that means there are definite things and signs that have to occur before Christ could come back. And Paul taught that it was imminent. So it's going to be before the tribulation and all the signs that accompany the tribulation. Okay, did everybody understand that? Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you alive?
Yes.
All right, good. If you're not, let somebody know around you, okay?